The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we got Greg Bishop. He's talking about all things in general, including it defies language. And I asked him briefly because Eric the Red asked Greg about UFO abductions, and you don't follow that much, do you?
Not really anymore. I was very excited when it first started being a big thing in the late 80s. Of course, when Bud Hopkins' book Intruders came out, that was very exciting. When Whitley Strieber's book came out, that was tremendously exciting to me. And I still like reading what Whitley Strieber has to say, no matter what people think about his veracity or if he's lying. I don't think he's lying. I think he confabulates a lot. But that's not his fault because he's a writer and he's a creative person. The thing is, it's kind of like people say, well, John Keel made stuff up or he lied or whatever. I don't really care so much about that. What I care about is the thought process and what the models he uses and how it affected him. And he's had some great ideas about what might be going on. Some of my favorites are like he said that whatever's going on, it's going on in the most democratic way possible. It's not going from top down. It's going from bottom up. If you think that it's really some other intelligence interacting with us, and that's a fascinating idea to me. I mean, they don't want to deal with it. If you are positing some kind of motivation here in intelligence and method, and we might be putting our own thing on it, or Whitley might be, but his idea is that everybody has to look at it in their own way because it just cannot be explained to everybody in the same way. And that's a fascinating idea to me, and it's something I kind of carry with me as I hear, every time I hear an abduction story or about a new researcher or something like that. But no, I don't really follow it that closely because it hasn't changed that much. And the fact that there is a set scenario that at least that major researchers reveal to us and it never changes – they don't tell you about the weird stuff, but the fact that it never changes really makes me think that it's almost hopelessly to the point where we're never going to find out what the source is because there's so many models. We have a model stuck on it that most people agree with. That is the one that most people go to, consciously or not.
So we have a very subjective reality here when it comes to UFOs, and we are influencing. It's, I guess, like quantum physics. When you observe something, you influence what it does. But Whitley Strieber, as you probably know, I don't know if you heard the episode, we finally got him on the Paracast.
Yeah, what did he say? I didn't hear it.
It was basically the usual stuff in terms of what he has to say. He accepts this as a presence of the visitors. He's not 100% sure who and what they are, which is kind of important because it means that he's willing to accept that it's not just aliens coming here in physical aircraft, there's more involved.
Right. I encountered that very early on in his writing, Communion and maybe not so much in Communion. Well, no, right off the bat in Communion, I think he was thinking along those lines or had suggested that. In subsequent books, I read the first three and I read Majestic, which is also a great one. I really like that book. He's always exploring different ways to look at it. He never really sticks to one thing. And that people don't really talk about that. They're just like, oh, he's the guy that had aliens land and shove things up his butt. No, he's not that guy. He's so much more. And that always fascinates me. What else did he say on the show? I mean, like you said, he said the same stuff. He was talking probably about the Supernatural book he wrote with Kripal, right?
Yes, he did. But at the end of the day, I think Chris was disappointed because he would go into his fixed routines when you'd ask him a deep question. He kind of revert back to that. So it's not that he gave you anything that you didn't know having read his books or heard him on radio and TV before. I kind of think, just beginning and end, that he's not just a fiction author inventing something, but the fact that he is a fiction author reflects on the way he expresses it.
Yes.
And that is troublesome because then you're getting more of an emotional reaction as opposed to actual factual events.
How are you going to get factual events out of something that nobody knows what it is to begin with? I like the creative thing. I think that's why I like, because he's looking at it with a creative mind, and I don't think that's used enough because people worship the "if we get enough data, we're going to know what it is" thing. I think we have enough data.
That goes to another thing I want to talk to you about. But first, when you think about the creative mind, and of course we have the Mothman. We have Mothman Prophecies from Kiel, but we also have a book by Gray Barker called The Silver Bridge. Yeah. And The Silver Bridge was an amazing book because it's a creative mind, a very creative, brilliant mind, approaching this in a very subjective way. What happened there? It's not the way he's referring to physical events, A, B, C, and D, like a reporter.
Yeah.
He is basically writing a parable based on what happened.
Yeah.
It was an amazing book if you can ever find it. The Silver Bridge.
You can get it on Amazon. Yes, it is an amazing book. In fact, I think it's, I don't know about far better. It's like what I was saying about, you know, maybe aliens developing in a completely different, you know, there's an article about this in the book, but developing not in a parallel way, but in a perpendicular way, off to the side. Gray Barker's writing on Silver Bridge is completely different than Kiel, and he looks at it in a completely different way. And it's refreshing, enjoyable, and exciting to read, and I would encourage people to pick that up. I'm glad you brought that up, Gene.
Now, the version that's available from Amazon is a Kindle edition. They've got a paperback edition. But this is a special version with a foreword from Alan Greenfield, a piece material from Andrew Colvin and even Jim Moseley. So it's a later version of the original book written in 1970.
Yeah, but the text is there.
The text is there, but it's enhanced by additional commentaries. And it's worth what? Well, the paperback is not worth it. It's $110. It's very expensive.
Really?
Yeah, I'm looking at Amazon right now. The Silver Bridge paperback, $110.
That's ridiculous.
But if you want to get the Kindle version, it's $9.99. I recommend the Kindle version. Don't even think of the paperback version. You know, I would have had something valuable if I still had the book. I don't think I do. I think it's lost about 10 moves ago.
My friend Peter Stenzel, who co-founded Excluded Middle with me, we were at a UFO convention once, and somebody was selling a copy of it. And I said, huh, that'd be interesting. I'm going to come back and get that. And about 10 minutes later, he said, hey, look what I got. I said, oh, he got it. An original first edition of The Silver Bridge.
I had an original edition. The guy personally sent me. I'll tell you what, if I would recommend, if you want something and you're not interested just in a recitation of facts, a reporter's recount of Mothman, you want to get this subjective book that I think was a lot more even than Gray Barker intended.
Yeah.
I just think he wrote what he felt and he came up with brilliance. The Silver Bridge by Gray Barker.
Those were his people, so he was able to talk to them in a completely different way than Kiel was because he lived there and he knew these kind of people and he knew how to talk to them. They told him stuff they would never tell Kiel or reporters or whatever.
Right. He's one of them.
Yeah.
Okay. This will tell you more. The Silver Bridge from Gray Barker. Let's go on. I'm looking here at what the cost of the book would be from other places. Okay. And I don't see a price. I see a place that is offering it online called Goodreads.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't see any way of actually buying a book from there. Well, it says online stores. It shows a bunch of online stores that have it. And you have to kind of click on the reference and see what they sell it for.
I think what it is it, maybe somebody got a few printed up and they're kind of running out of them and it wasn't print on demand. And that means that there's only a certain amount of them. So, you know, we've got 50 or 20 of them left. Let's just put a ridiculous price on them. If anybody buys them, great. If not, they're still buying Kindles. I mean, I would understand that thinking.
On the other hand, if they had digital file, they could upload it to CreateSpace or Lulu and make it available for everybody at an affordable price. Speaking of affordability, the Paracast Plus is affordable. We charge by the month, the year, 5 years, lifetime. You get the enhanced version of this show without the ads. You get after the Paracast. You get videos, show transcripts. We're setting up. We've got the first group of edited shows now. A classic Paracast episode, somewhat better audio quality without the ads. And that's just the beginning. We'll have more features in the months to come. So once again, for the PowerCast Plus, check out plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Greg Bishop is here with Gene and Chris. You're in
De Pentecost.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Biochemistry determines your mood, memory, energy, and endurance. Your body's primary metabolic function is to make protein. One World Whey is a unique, non-denatured protein. This enables your body to have virtually 100% utilization, whereas typical whey protein powders offer no more than 18% utilization of protein. One World Whey also delivers life-giving frequencies to your cells. The net result for so many people is improved energy, mood, and elimination of pain from inflammation.
This technologically enhanced One World Whey has been really amazing for me. I'm 36 years old, and for the past several years, I've been struggling with lack of energy, drive, and stamina. And after just 2 weeks on this product, I'm feeling so much more energy. My yoga practice has deepened, and as a massage therapist, I'm able to see more clients than I've been able to in years. I've never felt results that quick with anything I've ever taken.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors not available in all states.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
He's going to try every accent he knows.
Yes, what am I supposed to do? Everybody's done the Frankenstein voice, the monster voice, the... You know, I got to think of other voices. I don't know when it's coming up. So when you do it, it's like, oh, I got to think of something. So, you know, you got to call on your powers of improvisation, I suppose, which I don't have.
Well, what you can do is kind of think. That's going to happen between 8 and 10 minutes every time. Speaking of all these UFO reports, all right, from Dave M., Greg, have you ever witnessed any triangular aircraft? If so, where do you believe they originate from? Human means or something else?
The ones that move very quickly and in UFO-like ways, I don't know where those come from.
Have you ever witnessed them?
No, I haven't seen one.
Have you ever seen a UFO?
Yes. I know that's one of the questions. And that's a chapter, that's an entry in the book, and I will talk about it in a second here. But no, I've never seen a triangular craft. I've talked to many people that have. I'll tell you, about 7-8 years ago, we were in a bookstore, my wife and I. She said, hey, look at this. And she handed me a magazine that was like a radio hobbyist magazine or something like that. It was a huge cover story on triangular lighter-than-air aircraft that pretty much match exactly what people are talking about. A triangle, like a thing that looks like a delta wing, a thing that looks like, you know, swept wing, like a jet with lights on them. These things were flying, you know, at least publicly 8 or 10 years ago. So I think a lot of the giant triangular and wing-shaped craft that go silently over the desert or, you know, the Hudson Valley of New York and all that, I have a very sneaking suspicion that at least some of those are these lighter-than-air craft. But as we know with many of these things, when you try to explain it and say, that's what that is, there's many sightings of things that were lighter than aircraft cannot do. You know, very quick turns and disappearing in 5 seconds over the horizon and all that. No, a lighter-than-aircraft cannot do that. So I don't know what that is. However, speaking of people saying things from inside the government you can't trust or not, I had on my show on Radio Mysterioso a few years ago, and it's still posted, I had a guy on that said he worked for a defense contractor, I think in San Diego. And years ago, they were testing a neutrally buoyant aircraft, which had thrusters or jets or something on it, that was able to do some of the things that he said UFOs do. Now, I don't know if he was trying to get me to believe that, you know, UFOs are all these lighter than aircraft or what. It still wouldn't explain a lot of things, like effects on witnesses and all that. But there is a possibility that some of these triangles and things like that can do very quick maneuvers and do some of the things that are ascribed to UFOs. The only thing that the one thing with that is, what about when something goes from a standing still to going something like, you know, 1,000 miles an hour in a half a second? That would involve really strong forces like, you know, air pushing against the aircraft, creating sonic booms and all that, which doesn't happen.
Also, the pilots would suffer a condition called splat.
Yes, unless... And this is something that this strange Navy guy told me. They were testing something where they had people breathing some sort of liquid that had oxygen in it. And so they were encased within some kind of liquid. And the liquid would move along with the aircraft. And they were in the middle of the liquid, so they weren't affected by the G-forces. I don't know if that's true or not. Either there's some weird technology we don't know of that is not human, or somebody's figured out how to make these things move very quickly and not be affected by airflow or, you know, having a shock wave created in front of it and all that. I do not know. I really do think there is something non-human that interacts with us occasionally. Past that, I'm not sure what it is. And I don't know if it's technological or it looks to us to be technological occasionally. I don't know.
I think part of the problem with UFOs is the fact that human testimony, eyewitness testimony, can be so wrong sometimes about the speed of things, about the height, that there are very likely conventional aircraft being reported. And we go back to a thread we have in the forums. Don't know if you saw it, Greg. It's about Kenneth Arnold. Now, the key thing about Kenneth Arnold is the objects he saw, he estimated to be running at 1,200 miles an hour at a time in 1947 where I think the maximum speed was maybe 600 or 700 miles an hour. But if he got that wrong by a substantial degree, that aircraft could have been conventional, and the entire edifice on which the early UFO mystery is based would be based on something that wasn't unusual.
Yeah, true. But there have been so many other things seen that are quite unusual that I don't think it would make a lot of difference. It's just that that's what came up first, and the term flying saucers came up first. I had Chris Aubeck on, and he said he doesn't look at anything after 1947 because he thinks as soon as people started saying flying saucers, that's what people expected to see, which really screwed up the database. And people still see things that aren't round and flying. We just talked about the triangular thing. There's lots of different shapes, but I think people referring to it as that planted the idea that that's what people were seeing. And I've got this idea that if you see something that's so strange you can't figure out what it is, somewhere in your subconscious before it gets to your conscious recollection, it gets thrown into whatever bin that fits it. And one of them is, you know, flying saucers, round things flying through the air. So I don't know how much you can count on people's observations of things. Doesn't mean that the data shouldn't be collected. I think it should be collected. I think it should be collected in a little different way, more of a witness-based, more than a data-based. What did it do? How high did it go? All that. That stuff's important. But the witness stuff is far more important because it'd be nice to get a handle on how people perceive things, what they perceive, and how it affects their lives.
The problem is that we don't interview them about, or seldom do we. Now,
for example,
we've had some...
Some people won't put up with it.
We've had some physical researchers here who look at physical evidence and do investigation. We had Phyllis Budinger, who was a 2013 MUFON Ufologist of the Year. We had Chase Kletsky, who's a Deputy Director of Research or Investigations for MUFON. And we look at what she does, and they go there into a case, and they interview people about the case, and they try to get the best testimony they can. They very rarely do follow-ups. They don't consider the side issues. Looking at the person, they look at what they saw.
Yeah.
The person is just incidental. Oh, okay, we're going to get the information about this UFO and not about the person. It's like someone witnesses the crime, and you want to know about the crime. You want to gather evidence of the crime. But the only time you look at the witness is when the witness does something to make you suspect their testimony, or the defense, for someone who's being charged with a crime, will look at the witness to discredit them. But otherwise, the witness is a non-issue.
Yeah. Well, in this case, the witness is the center of the issue, I think, and has been from the beginning, because a crime is, you know, if somebody says something way off base when they're talking about some crime, like, and then a werewolf came in, it's like, okay, you're insane. But if somebody says something way off base with a UFO sighting, it's just filed. Nobody even thinks about it. And that's where you really do have to listen to people. Like, you know, for example, I was told recently that right before the Papua New Guinea case, the one with Father Gill, where they saw whatever that thing was floating over New Guinea, and there was somebody, this is in the late 50s, I think, people like standing on this platform-looking thing, waving at this Anglican priest and the people in his parish there.
Let's find out more about that in a second.
Okay.
With Greg Bishop and Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendivite. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Hi, Peter Porcaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
I have to wonder about the sounds generated by Greg Bishop. Maybe he's taking leave of his senses. Okay, so we're paving the introduction to this case where it's almost like people on a ship, like a physical ship, a boat, where they're standing up there looking at everybody. And that's what I think of when you talk about this case.
Yeah, he said it looked like just some normal thing. He said, like, oh, I guess it's some people on a hovercraft testing something. He said he thought it was something that you Americans made, that he told me. This is what he said to J. Allen Hynek. But the thing is that apparently right before the case, right before all this happened, somebody knocked at the door of the building they were in that they walked out of to see this thing. They knocked at the door, and when somebody went to answer the door, nobody was there. And, you know, I guess that could happen anywhere, but it's a little part of the story that nobody ever talks about. And it could be, you know, explore that weirdness. Why did that happen? But the problem with this is, I mentioned a little bit before, some people don't, they just want to tell you their story. They don't want to be scrutinized for the next, you know, 5 years to find out what happened to them subsequently or if their life changed or whatever. However, you could ask them stuff. What was going on beforehand? Were you involved in a divorce? What were you doing right when the thing happened? I had Cassidy Nicholas on my show. She's also with MUFON. And I said, is MUFON doing anything like this? Are they asking people? She said, we're trying to start asking people things like, what were you doing then? What were you doing just before it? You know, is this your normal routine? Was there anything weird about what you were doing that day or what was happening that day? They're trying to start asking different questions, which is good. It'd be a really good thing to add to the database, or good things, a lot of these things, if you can.
Now, I worry a lot about these databases, and we talked to Peter Davenport.
Yes.
In the same connection. He's got this big database.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't want to give it out to anybody else because he has 30 years into it. MUFON has a database. Other people have databases. And step number one, before we do anything else, is to find a way, and if they're done in anything recent in terms of a off-the-shelf database program, is to merge them to combine them to flesh out cases. And one of the examples I gave, say someone sees a UFO in a specific city, and then they report to National UFO Reporting Center. Somebody else in the same city, maybe two blocks away, reports the same thing or whatever they remember of it to MUFON. But we don't know that because this data is never coordinated. And it's not like individuals doing searches because the search capabilities are not that good. But if you stuck them all in one database, a centralized thing that all the major UFO organizations set up, stop the proprietary nonsense. This is not like iOS and Android or OS 10 and Windows. It is a centralized place where UFO information is assembled, where people can follow up if necessary. But then once you have the fleshed out cases, hey, maybe you can figure out what to do with that information. And that's what MUFON isn't doing. MUFON doesn't do any research. They say they will promote research in their goals. Did you notice that? They say promote research. They don't say do research. So they're collecting all this information. They're collectors.
Right.
Putting it all together. But nothing's being done to say, okay, what's it mean? Where are the patterns? Very little of that is done. So it's great to have the data now. Where do we go next? What do you think?
People have to start messing, taking the data and processing it in different ways and in crazy ways and in ways that nobody expected and with outliers and things like that that don't make any sense. Massaging the database in ways that nobody has before might, you know, it's like if you can get this information, you know, what time of day was it? What area of the country was it? What was the weather then? What is the ethnic background of the person? Do they have a history of other things going on with them?
Is the biggest thing right there. They're not being asked their past history in terms of paranormal events.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of one part of it. But with the database we have now, I think there are still things that haven't been done with it. I don't know what those might be because I haven't gone through. You can actually search the MUFON database. Cassidy Nicholas told me this. She also told, I said, MUFON isn't interested in new ideas, I don't think. She goes, well, really? Do you have any? I said, yeah. And I told her one. She said, send it to MUFON. Well, she said that, who is it, Roger Marsh? I don't know the man. I don't even know what he's like. But she said, send it to Roger and see what he says. If it looks like you have it well supported, we'll support the research, which is fine. You know, I don't hate MUFON the way I used to. I just think that if you want to have really good work done, you probably have to have small groups who can move quickly or can move quickly in the way they think about things rather than be bogged down with, you know, people that have certain ideas. And I've actually talked to people who have gone to MUFON meetings and they said, and they've said things like, there's a lot of younger people that are kind of tired of the way things are being done and they want to do different things, which is good. I hope they do those things. But the best thing that MUFON could do now is basically to, like, is to be a repository of information and to make that information freely available to everyone, which she said they do. And they do. I think it's limited to like 50 cases if you go to their database. But she said if you come to them with a research problem and you say, I need to look at your entire database and I need to look at it for these things, they go right ahead. As far as I know, I haven't tried to do it. So I'm not as down on the large organizations as I used to be. However, I think the small organizations and the individuals and, you know, the groups of five or six people, I think really exciting stuff will come out of that in the next 5 or 10 years. Because they don't have any strictures on them, and they can communicate through the internet and share information and data and all that. And as soon as they find something out, throw that out into the public and see if it can be reproduced by somebody else. Somebody else can follow up on it and take it further. There's ideas that I haven't thought of, and a lot of people haven't thought of that. I'm sure people are working on right now, quietly, I hope. And then at some point they will release that information. One weird problem I think is that. Once people start finding out what they think the UFO thing is, it might only work for them, a la Whitley Strieber and his Democratic thing. Until we get some different understanding of reality or a different model of it, I think we're going to be stuck in the way that we look at it, that, you know, people really have to get away from the aliens coming from other planets and structured craft thing. Maybe true, but let's look at other stuff. And I think people are doing that.
Question from Technomage in our forums at forum.theparacast.com. And that is, you've seen these already, so I know that nothing I say comes as a surprise to you. What's your favorite case? One that you find to be the most mysterious?
Well, there's different, favorite and mysterious are different things to me. Let's see, a favorite case. Always like the Joe Simonton case. Love that case. The one with the space pancakes.
And let's go back into that before you go on. So this saucer lands on this guy's Wisconsin farm.
He doesn't see it land. He hears a noise outside.
Okay, he hears a noise. But I didn't say that. I just said it lands. I didn't say he saw it land. Okay, so this craft lands, and he sees the craft after hearing the noise, and he seems like a pretty simple farmer. You know, salt of the earth kind of guy in Wisconsin, okay?
Yeah.
Joe and he sees they're cooking something, and he motions towards it, and they hand him these rather stiff, greasy pancakes. So we know that E.T., well, they're not very good cooks. But what's your perception? Do you think it's somebody's big joke on him?
I don't know what happened with that. I think what happened was something very strange happened to him, and his mind formed it into something that made sense to him. The first thing they did was give him a jug and ask him to go get water. So he filled water up, like in his kitchen or something, and brought it back to them. And then they gave him the little pancake things. And then he said he saw the thing rise up and leave. But yeah, he looked at it through some open door or something on the side, and there were people cooking on a flameless grill, or somebody was, and somebody else appeared to be sitting in a chair. Maybe they were a pilot or something. And the entire inside of the aircraft was like this matte black. Everything was black. And the entire outside, he said, was shiny and almost mirror-like, I think. There is an essay on this in the book, actually, about the symbolic implications of Joe Simonton's sighting.
Symbolic implications. You know what? We have about 20 seconds left with this segment. I'm going to ask you that before we go on to other questions and things. What are these symbolic aspects of the Joe Simonton case? Other than the pancakes, which didn't taste very good, except that the E.T. needs some cooking lessons. That's really what it's all about. Maybe they got spoiled pancake mix. Greg Bishop is here with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Destroy harmful bacteria, allergens, bed bugs, dust mites, fleas in your home with the Ladybug Steam Vapor System. The Ladybug dies deep on surfaces without any toxic residue. Traditional control agents contain toxic chemicals which do more harm than good. Sanitize and disinfect using just water. Quick, fast, and surprisingly easy.
Find out more now by calling 800-997-6584. Ask for Randy. That's 800-997-6584. Or go to advap.com/GCN. That's advap.com/GCN.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you are having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
By now, you know the smart way to buy emergency food storage is calories per dollar. Ready Supply Foods sells you 50% more food for your money. GMO-free, 25-year shelf life, great tasting, and free shipping. You need 2,000 calories per day under ideal conditions. Most 30-day kits don't have enough calories to sustain you for more than a week. They just don't have enough nutrition to do the job. See the comparisons for yourself at ReadySupplyFoods.com. We are the new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Okay, Greg Bishop, back to Joe Simonton, Eagle River, Wisconsin. I remember that. I remember him being interviewed on the Long John Neville radio show. Okay, so what else can you point to here? Symbolism about Joe Simonton?
I found the passage I wrote about it on in the book. It is not very long. It's like two paragraphs. I will read it because otherwise I'm going to get confused. I will confuse myself. What I said was any attempt to interpret this episode logically obviously falls flat. Many have tried, but it's a dead end. If we hypothesize a bit on the basic elements of the story, we can come up with a few interesting things. One, the thing apparently came from and went back to the sky. Many things we associate with God's unseen forces and the unknown reside in the heavens. Two, the men didn't say a word to Simonton. Talking about things often robs them of open interpretation and ultimate personal meaning. Many religious disciplines stress the value of silence. Three, he was given three plain, they turned out to be ordinary wheat gluten, flat wafers. I do not need to emphasize the symbolism of holy wafers in the more widespread act of ingesting food and drink that's alleged to have mystic powers.
Okay, so this spaceship was run by Catholics.
Yes, exactly. Four, the outer part of the craft was brighter than chrome, in quotes, according to Simonton, while the interior was black. The men were dressed in black outfits with black caps.
They were Mennonites.
Yes. Shining truth on the outside contrasts with the occulted secretive black on the inside brings up images of spiritual promise contrasted with the more difficult to grasp truths within any path to true understanding. That's just a couple things off the top of my head when I just said, let's look at the Joe Simonton thing and not look at it as some strange thing that happened to somebody that seems really weird. But let's look at the symbolic aspects of it and what that opens up. That happens in a lot of close encounter cases. You can look at it in a symbolic way and it becomes a different kind of a lesson and a different kind of a story.
Well, in the case of Joe Simonton, it was looked at as a big joke. Ho, 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 the aliens come and they hand him these horrible-tasting pancakes. And no one looks beyond that because we have this relatively simple guy who evidently was not seeking fame and fortune. It's just something that happened that he couldn't understand. And he told us about it. Of course, you could look at the pancakes and see. Now, in relation to that or anything else, would you think a case like this was maybe the military playing a joke on somebody?
No, I don't think so. People give the military a lot more credit for a lot of things than I think they deserve. I think very strange things happen to people all the time, and it has nothing to do with the authorities. In fact, it scares the authorities, which is kind of the reason why I like all this weird stuff, because there's a bunch of people telling us the way that things should be, and then there's these weird stories about stuff that are not the way things are supposed to be. And that, you know, that's exciting. It's exciting to a lot of people. I think that might be the, you know, one of the roots of interest in the UFO stuff and paranormal stuff is because somebody, something somewhere is showing us that we don't know everything.
Well, therefore, as Ray Palmer said many times, flying saucers are here to make us think.
Yes, I think they are. And a lot of these things, flying saucers, the close encounters that come from them, even cryptozoological stuff, it's here to make us think and push us forward. Bud Hopkins, no matter what you think about him, I've taped a video of him lecturing years ago, like 1987 or 86, something like that. And he said, the one quote I remember from him, he says, UFOs are dragging us kicking and screaming into the science of the 21st century. I don't know if it's dragging us kicking and screaming into the science, but the problems brought up by it don't make any sense in the way that we've been taught to make sense. So I think we have to make sense in a different way or, you know, or embrace the nonsense and see where that takes us. So, you know, hence my little thing about Simonton there.
Well, I think if you go back and if you can even get the magazines anymore, go back to Ray Palmer's Flying Saucers in Search. This is after he split off from Fate magazine. And he talked about holes at the poles. And he talked about all sorts of crazy things. And he presented theories, not necessarily that they're to be taken literally, but to think about possibilities. And a lot of people think that he was just putting us on. I remember one of his close friends that I talked to quite a few times in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, Otto Binder, who was well known as a science fiction writer. He was a comic book writer who wrote Captain America with Stan Lee, the original Shazam, Captain Marvel, and in 1959 created or co-created Supergirl.
Yeah.
And he was close with Ray Palmer. And he said, you know, he's just saying this stuff to get people to respond in the letters to the editor column and start debates back and forth. That's it. Yeah. But I think Palmer had a deeper purpose in mind here. Again, that was to get you to think about possibilities because that's a way to advance the discussion. If it's just spaceships and the next sighting, you get bored with that pretty easily. I know that in the old days I was working with Jim Moseley over at Saucer News. And he told me, frankly, I'm bored with sightings. You know, unless there's something extraordinary or strange about them, it's the same old thing. But the problem I have with a place like MUFON, and I hope they're getting more open to different possibilities now, the problem I have is that's where they went. Their growth has been stunted. Since 1969, it's just, okay, you see something strange in the sky, maybe it lands, get the description, let's go on to the next case.
Yeah, I think they're trying to change that. I hope they are. According to Cassidy, who I had on my show, they are trying to change that. And I've seen a little bit of evidence of that.
Well, I have asked Chris to invite his friend Jan Harzan, the international director of MUFON, back on. Let's talk to him. Now, in connection with that, and here's another thing. As you know, Chris has his project, San Luis Valley Project. Yeah. Mark Roediger of the Center for UFO Studies, working with Leslie Kane and others, has a UFO data project. And we have this CubeSat from Canada. We had a guest on to talk about that. That's going to be a UFO detection system in low orbit. And apparently it's all scheduled already to go up next year. And we have the projects for possible UFO detectors. And now because of the technology, the fact that you can get a personal computer in your pocket, it's not super expensive to create these systems. Do you think if we send up UFO detectors in orbit or put them in places where there's a lot of activity around the Earth, do you think they'll actually find something or will the phenomenon just go elsewhere?
They'll find something and it'll be inconclusive. That's what I think. I don't think they shouldn't do it because there's always the chance that something incredible and cool and earth-shaking could happen. However, you know, if we haven't got a good picture of anything at this point, and, you know, unless they have different cameras on it, different wavelengths, got, you know, radar and all kinds of things going on, I don't know if just a picture is going to convince anybody of anything. It might. Who knows? Although I think a lot of people would agree with me, the more clear the picture is, the more I tend to think it's fake.
This is the problem with this thing. And that is, when there are photos, 99% of the time it's blurry. When you do see something, it could be something weird. It could be an Adamski photo, a George Adamski photo, you know, where they've got, what, light bulbs or something. as the base for the UFOs.
Yeah.
By the way, I heard from somebody who wanted to come on the Paracast and tell us about George Adamski and all the great things he did. And I wrote back and I said, didn't you know this was proven to be a hoax years ago? It was shown to be a hoax. It was exposed. And I pointed her to the Adamski expose issue from 1957 that we have posted at jimmosley.com that Kurt Collins put up there. I haven't heard back from her. But I think she really didn't expect that reaction. I mean, people jump into this field and something catches their interest. And they are oblivious to what has gone before. So they simply repeat the same old mistakes.
Well, the thing is, the idea I got from Robert Anton Wilson a long time ago was to examine everything but believe nothing. And especially with the UFO thing, I mean, I try to be as agnostic as possible, like to the point where people get mad at me. Like, well, I don't have an idea about that. And, you know, there's a few things, actually, there's quite a few things where I think absolute crap, don't worry about that. There's a very tiny few things that I think that's very interesting, and it's unknown, and, you know, further thought is needed on this and further research, and, you know, and we may never get the answer. But that's not the point. I think the point is to attack it from as many different angles as possible, and maybe there'll be some, you know, maybe somebody will find something out, or maybe there'll be a synthesis of different things. And like Ray Barker said, I think in one of his speeches, and I think I said this in the book too, is like if you're looking for the UFOs, look within yourself, and that's where you'll find them. That he said that in the 50s. I think a few other people did too. And what the implication of that is to me is that our perceptions and our expectations and our hopes and fears and all this other stuff and our basic, you know, genetics, the way we were raised and all that has a huge impact on how we perceive, report, process the information, remember, retell stories about UFOs.
We have Greg Bishop. More to come with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
75 years ago, America suffered one of the worst moments in American history, the attack on Pearl Harbor. Now you can remember December 7th, 1941, with the purchase of the first ever 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-490-3200 right now for the official 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve, the only company authorized to distribute these 100% solid gold coins. Remember Pearl Harbor with this limited official gold release. 1-800-490-3200 or online at usmoneyreserve.com.